When I went to Bible college, I went to a Baptist church before I went to a Bible college, and I didn't know what a Baptist was, be quite frank with you. When I went to a Baptist church, I was a Catholic. How many former Catholics out there? Okay. By the way, you say, were you a good Catholic? Nope. I rarely went. I remember going really, I think I remember I went two or three times my whole life. And I think that was like someone's funeral and someone's wedding. But I went to a Baptist college, not to put the Baptist college down, but I never learned anything about being a Baptist. Or let's say this, very little. What's a Baptist mean? By the way, now, right now, in America, and some of you have done this, people are studying, they're going online. Don, I think you told me, my father-in-law told me, to find out about your heritage. Did you mention that to me? It was some other one, someone that looked just like you. Studying their heritage, their personal heritage, they're getting their name and finding out their great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was, you know, Adolf Hitler or something. And you know what it's doing? It's inspiring some people. They're like, oh, wow, you know, my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa was a king. Stood up straight, okay? I never really learned about what is a Baptist. By the way, if we have the name out there, we should know what that means and the why, okay? Everybody has a label. Everybody has a last name. You have a first name, okay? Last Sunday night, we went to In-N-Out. At In-N-Out, we didn't get quarter pounders with cheese. Okay, we got double doubles. My son gets like a triple triple or something like three burgers on there. So, we're gonna probably about a 3-week series on Baptist heritage. If you're here all 3 weeks, you're gonna go, wow, I learned something on why we're Baptist and how that will help me to be a better Christian. We're not just trying to put a name out there to be proud about a name, but look at Matthew chapter 16. And I have to be careful because probably over the last 3 years, I read a lot, I listen to a lot of sermons, but I've probably listened and read more books on this one subject, than any other subject, probably more than any three subjects I've studied. You say, why? The main reason, and you're going to catch this, Baptist principles protect a church from apostasy. Okay? You say, what's apostasy? Going away from the Bible. By the way, let me say this. We'll stand here in a couple minutes, and I'm getting ahead of myself. Do you know First Baptist Long Beach, about 30 years ago, they almost went apostate? Okay. Until they got a Baptist pastor. Remember this, not every Baptist church is a Baptist church. Okay? And I know some of you are going, what are you talking about? We'll get to that in just a minute. Look at Matthew chapter 16. And look at verse number 16. This is just an introduction to Baptist heritage or Baptist history. Look at verse 16. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And again, this is Jesus' church. Okay? Jesus said, upon this rock will I build my church. This is Jesus' church. Remember that. Okay? We're a part of the church. Okay? We're members of the church, but this is Jesus' church. He said, I'll build it. But then he went on to say, he said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you study church history for the history of 2,000 years, Satan has done everything he possibly could to shut the church down and stop the church. But this is Jesus' church. It's never going to stop. Now, when the rapture takes place, God's people are out of here. But he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. I want you to look over to Ephesians 3. Then we're going to look at a verse or two here, and then we'll pray and be seated. Ephesians chapter 3. And look at verse number 20. of Ephesians chapter 3. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Aren't you glad that God gives us more than we ask or think? According to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, okay, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. The church, there's not since the book of Acts, since the New Testament, we'll say, and that's a little debatable, but there's always been a church. Some people say, well, the church stopped in the Dark Ages. And I know some of us, a lot of us don't know church history, and I'm going to try to do the best I can not to get ahead of us, but some people think the church stopped during the Dark Ages because there was no church. The Catholic Church, which was not a church, but remember this, there has always been a church for 2,000 years, okay? And I want you to just get that here at the beginning. Father, help us tonight to learn why we are who we are. And it's just not a name. We're thankful that we're not a Wesleyan. We don't mind following men, but we're not a Methodist that have the name of John Wesley. But we're people from the New Testament. And Lord, help us to understand the value of that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. What are the origins of... We're going to give you a little church history. By the way, let me say this off the top. And probably, you know, does anybody know what a Baptist briter is? We're not Baptist briters. Anybody know what a Baptist briter is? We're not Baptist briters, okay? Baptist briters believe that the bride of Christ will be made up of the faithful members of all true New Testament churches that existed throughout the church age. And they believe that if you don't, your church cannot find that last church, then the next church, they went into the New Testament, that you're not a true church. Okay, we don't believe that. By the way, Baptist briters, they're wonderful people, they're pure people, their churches are very holy and pure churches. We're not Baptist briters. Just throw that out there, okay? Number one, Roman numeral one, what are the origins of all churches? So we'll get a little brief church history. The first bullet there are origins for three groups of churches. You see that? Three groups of churches. Okay, letter A, the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church. Of course, the word Catholic means universal. We don't believe in a universal church. Okay, you say why? Because it's not in the Bible. The bullet there, the Catholic Church started in the 3rd century. Okay, the blank there, Constantine. Put the name Constantine in that blank. I think you might have a blank underneath the Catholic Church. See, where the Catholic Church come from? Now, we can spend the whole time here explaining about where the Catholic Church came from. By the way, if you're newly out of the Catholic Church and you say, well, Pastor, don't talk bad. I'm not talking bad about the Catholic Church. We're just giving you history, okay? And we're giving you truth, okay? I don't want to be a part of something that's not true, okay? And so Constantine was afraid he was going to die there in the 3rd century, actually 317 A.D. it was fearful that he was going to die and saw a vision that he said told him to conquer in my name. This is a vision he had. Then he declared Christianity as the state church. Okay? He then created a theocracy, pretty much a theocracy. What's a theocracy? It's where your government is telling you what we do for our religious beliefs, okay? The Old Testament, they had a theocracy. We don't have a theocracy, okay? What is it called? Sharia law. Sharia law, in a sense, is a theocracy, okay? It's following God in our government. So Constantine started what would be called a Christian theocracy. The Donatists, they were Baptists, would not, and by the way, there's different Baptist groups, there's different names throughout history. There's the polemics, the Waldensians, the Monetists, the Novatians, the Donatists, the Paulicians, the Albigensians, the Bogomils, the the Patarines, the Henericians, the Pettibrucians, the Arnoldists, the Lollards, the Anabaptists of Europe, the Baptists of America, and so forth. But the Donatists would not allow this spiritual hierarchy to come in their churches there in the third century to rule over them. And then Constantine sent armed troops to take the pastors out of these churches. And this was basically the birth of the Catholic Church. Now, let me say, look up here just a minute. Now, this you're just going to have to take this. This is truth. The Catholics have killed millions of Baptist people. It's history. By the way, real Catholic historians, they'll apologize for it, but they said, yeah, that's what happened. You say, why? Because the Baptist people were that people that came out of that New Testament church and said, we're going to stay faithful to the Bible no matter what the government says, no matter what other Christians say. And so what happened is when they had this Catholic, you can call it the theocracy, whatever you want to call it, the Baptists said, well, wait a minute, this isn't how it's supposed to be. It's not a theocracy. And they begin to persecute them, and they stood firm. And you know what? Until they, by the way, the Waldensians, 25 million Waldensians were martyred. 25 million. You know how many? I think in California has about 23 million people. Can you imagine the whole state of California filled with Baptists? They all were martyred. Okay? So that's the Catholic Church. Okay, by the way, most of our people, okay, we have a lot of former Buddhists, but more former Catholics. Our Filipino friends, former Catholics. Our Hispanic friends, former Catholics. We love them. We love the Catholic people, even if you're not a former Catholic. But the truth is, the Catholic Church started, and we can spend a lot of time on that. By the way, if you want to write this down, you can Google it up. Whenever you have, whether it's a false religion or a real religion or whatever, you want to have a theologian that gives credibility to what you believe. And Augustine, and unfortunately, and I'm going to just go over our heads, but Augustine was that theologian that came along later that was a theologian that brought credibility to the Catholic Church. Unfortunately, many of our Protestant friends and our new evangelical friends, they look at Augustine as this great theologian. He was not a great theologian. He was an enemy of true Christianity. Letter B. Protestant churches, okay, Protestant churches, non-Catholic and non-Baptist. By the way, if you join the military, you're going to fill out a paper. They're going to say, okay, are you Catholic, are you Protestant, or are you Jewish? Which one of the three? So I'm not any of the three, okay? Okay, then you're an atheist. You have no religion. No. I'm a Baptist. They say, well, you're a Baptist. That means you're a Protestant. And I'll say this a few times over the next few weeks. Baptists are not Protestants. Okay? We'll explain why. Letter B. Protestant churches, non-Catholic and non-Baptist, the little bullet. The Protestant Reformation started in 1517. Okay? Next bullet. The Protestants were Catholics that protested the teaching of the Catholic Church. Okay, your Luthers and your Zwinglis and others. Okay? Next bullet. Protestants are Reformed Catholics. Now, how many have ever, and here again, I'm here to state the truth. That's all we're doing. Because when you have a soul winning church, we weren't all born Baptist. So we all have a background, okay? But it would be good if we understood our heritage and also history of Christianity and our Baptist heritage. How many have ever been in a Lutheran church? You ever been in a Lutheran church? How many have ever been to a Catholic church? Did they remind you of the same? Okay. The Lutheran ministers still wear the Band-Aids. Okay. And so, anyway, we won't go into all that. The Protestants were Catholics that protest the teaching of the Catholic Church. The next bullet, Protestants are Reformed Catholics. Next bullet, non-Baptist, non-Catholics came out of the Protestant church. Basically, most, not all, most churches can trace their heritage if they're not a Baptist church, or if they're not a Baptist church, to the Protestant line. Okay, letter C, Baptist. So pretty much Christianity, in a sense, and we can spend some time, you know, the Church of Christ came out of the Baptist. Okay, some Bible churches came out of the Baptist. Okay, there's new evangelical churches that came out of the Baptist. We understand that. But basically, you have the Catholics, you have the Protestant, and letter C, you have Baptist churches. Okay? The Baptist churches' origins are from the New Testament itself. And somebody can say amen. That's our heritage. Okay? That's not, we didn't make that up. That's true history. Okay, that's where our origin, just if you follow it back, we don't come from a Protestant church, we don't come from a Lutheran church, we don't come from a Presbyterian church. You follow the Baptist line and it goes back to the New Testament. Okay, next bullet. Not all churches with the name Baptist are truly Baptist. And you say why? Because really Baptist should mean a belief in the Bible only, okay? 1530, I don't know if this is in your notes, 1530, Reformed Protestant, Henrik Bollinger said, the Baptist resemble the ancient Donatist. Of course, the ancient Donatists were New Testament early ancient Christians. They were ancient, we would call them ancient Baptists. Reformed Protestant historian Mosheim, do you have these quotes in your paper there? Okay. Reformed Protestant historian Mosheim said that the Anabaptists considered themselves descendants of the Waldensians. Okay, back in the early second century. That was a group that had 25 million over a course of several hundred years, 25 million martyrs. Of the Waldensians, they are not entirely, by the way, this is a Reformed Protestant. These are not people that are promoting Baptist doctrine or promoting Baptist heritage. These are people just stating historical facts. They said they are not entirely in error when they identify themselves with the Waldensians, Predibrutians, and other ancient Christians. Those are the ancient Christians of the first. So this Protestant is basically saying, yeah, the Baptists are basically people of that first century. And that's who they've. See, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, next quote there, said, and he had a lot to say about Baptist heritage, but I'll just give you one quote here. He said, we believe that the Baptists are the original Christians. We did not commence our existence at the Reformation. We were reformers before Luther and Calvin were born. We never came from the Church of Rome. For we were never in it, but we have an unbroken line to the apostles themselves. We have always existed from the very days of Christ. And our principles, sometimes veiled and forgotten in the public way, like a river which may travel underground for a season, meaning he's referring to the Baptist Christians that had to go in hiding during different horrific times of persecution, have always had an honest and holy adherence. Many of our Baptist forefathers were in hiding like an underground river. Now, here's a Methodist historian. These are known historians. You can Google these guys' names up, and you could, you know, not nowadays, you can't really say anything in church without someone going and checking on it, but you get good, check on it. Methodist historian. This guy's a Protestant, okay? The Methodists came from John Wesley. John Wesley was a good guy, but he was a Protestant. And by the way, one thing about most of the Protestants, not all of them, a lot of them, they sprinkle their babies. You say, what are they doing? They're sprinkling. They're. By the way, that's not true baptism. Okay, that is one of the main reasons our Baptist forefathers were martyred. Okay, just for that one. Area where they would not compromise, but they would, of course, sprinkle, and they would say, we're taking away the original sin. A baby's born with a sin nature, but they haven't sinned yet, and so water does not take away their sin. They don't have sin, but anyway, that's a whole different story. Methodist historian John Redpath, in a personal letter to W.A. Jarrell, said, I should not readily admit that there was a Baptist church as far back as 100 AD. Although, without a doubt, there were Baptist churches then. Now, look what he said. This is a Methodist historian. As all Christians, although without a doubt there were Baptist churches then, as all Christians were then Baptist. Now I have a question. Why didn't he get out of the Methodist church and become a Baptist? Okay. Catholic bishop Stanislaw Hosius of Worms in Prussia in 1533. This is his, by the way, this is actually original. This is some of their old English writing, so we probably should have translated it, but I'll try the best I can. There shall be no faith, these are not misspelled, we just took it out of the quotes. There shall be no faith more certain and true than is the Anabaptist. This is 1533, I'm saying this. Then is the Anabaptist, this is a Catholic bishop. There shall be no faith more certain and true than is the Anabaptist. Seeing there be none now, or have been before time, for ye space of these 1,200 years, who have been more cruelly punished, or that have more stoutly, steadfastly, cheerfully take their punishment. Yea, or have offered themselves of their own accord to death. By the way, the Baptist people for 2,000 years, well, actually, maybe more like for 1,600 years, their songs were songs of sorrow. Their hymns were hymns of hurt. These people were, for really until about 1,600s here in America, the Baptist people, by the way, even in America, the Baptist people were persecuted. They were martyred. Their heads were cut off. Why? Because they loved God so much, they wouldn't compromise. They would follow God even to the death. One thing you get tonight, and we won't go into all of it, one of the reasons we want to understand our heritage is because everybody wants someone to follow. And I'm going to just be quite frank with you. And I'm not saying follow me. But I'll tell you what, you study your Baptist history, there's a lot of wonderful Christians to follow, okay? And they inspire us. And I'll tell you what they do. They make our Christianity of today feel so anemic to see how these people, I'm going to get ahead of myself. Let's go on. Look at there. So, yea, or have offered themselves of their own accord to death. Were it never so terrible or grievous. Yea, in St. Augustine, his time, of course, Augustine was that theologian that brought credibility to Catholicism. Yea, in St. Augustine, his time, as he himself saith, there was a certain monstrous desire of death in them. Now, look up here. There was no certain monstrous desire of death, but Augustine was one of those that was helping to kill the Baptist people. In other words, they would not compromise their convictions. And these people said, well, look at these crazy people. All they got to do is follow the Catholic Church. And so that's how they looked at them. So that's just a little brief. We said, number one, where are the origins of the churches? Okay. So we said, number one, the Catholic Church is there in the 3rd century. Then the Protestant Church and churches in the 15, 17. And then the Baptists, we came right out of the New Testament. Now, number two. Why spend these three? And by the way, I teach two classes on Baptist history. Okay, I right now I'm teaching American Baptist history. We might go into a little bit of that sometime over the next couple of weeks. And then there's a general Baptist history class where we talk about ancient before 1600s. Okay, but why would we do this? Why would we have two classes in our college? Why would I take 3 weeks? For us as a church to study Baptist history. Tonight I'll just give you a couple thoughts. Okay, number one. Turn over to Jude chapter 1. Jude chapter 1. Go to Revelation. Make a left. And you find Jude. There's only one chapter. Look at Jude chapter 1. Why study Baptist history? Number one, studying Baptist history prevents a church from future apostasy. Apostasy. A-P-O-S-T-A-S-Y. Apostasy. Okay? Jude chapter 1, look at verse number 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, he was going to write, just probably praise God we're saved and maybe give some doctrine on salvation. He said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So what's he saying? He's saying, listen, I was going to write unto you about common salvation, but intend I want to write unto you to contend. By the way, contend is like argue. Contend is sort of fight. Fight for the faith that was delivered to the saints. And he said, what he's saying is, listen, we need to keep the faith that was delivered to the saints. Look, it's in your outline there, Titus 3:10. Of course, Paul, writing to the young preacher Titus. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition rejects. So what's a heretic? A heretic is somebody, okay, going apostate is somebody that believed and then through a little series of evolution, or if you would, in his life, they don't believe anymore, and now they teach something that is totally contrary to the Word of God. Look at the next bullet. Baptists have always been willing to suffer for pure doctrine. Every jot and every tittle is important to God and should be important to God's people. By the way, we won't turn there, but you can jot this note down. I don't think it's in your notes. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:15, all in Asia, or he's talking about Asia Minor, have forsaken me. Paul had been, he had started churches in Asia Minor, and if you study church history, 35 years later, some of the churches that Paul started were beginning to apostatize. You say, what do you mean? Teaching false doctrine. I mean, the Apostle Paul is still alive. Let me say this. This church can go apostate in 10 or 20 years. But you say, when does a church usually go apostatize? After the founding pastor's gone. Maybe the next generation. We talk about a multi-generation. Listen, it'd be great if Jesus came back tomorrow. But he might not. He might not come back for 300 years. Wouldn't it be nice if we still had a church that believed the Bible the way it's written right here in the King James Bible 200 years from today? Very few out there. Very few. Okay? Very few that stay. About 50 million Baptists were martyred for not embracing really two doctrines. Infant baptism and soul winning. They were martyred because they would either say, number one, you got to baptize your babies into the church, and they say, no, we won't. Number two, you can't propagate. Okay, they'll say, you don't have to baptize your babies. Some groups, some periods of time, they say, you can't propagate what you believe. They say, it's right there. We're supposed to propagate. By the way, Baptist people were always soul winners. They love God, and they love souls. And they were church planners. Because they knew you could not fulfill the Great Commission unless you planted a church, okay, properly. I won't say, some of you know, and I'm not as much of a name caller. Maybe I should be. Paul was a name caller, okay? But there's a so-called Baptist pastor, and I know some of our people listen to him. I know you do. And he, in recent, I'd say in the last couple years, by the way, I've listened to him a couple times, and he's not an independent Baptist, but he's a real good preacher, but he came to his leadership and he said, hey, look, let's go ahead and allow people that have been baptized by sprinkling. If they've been baptized anyway, let's go ahead and allow them to be members of our church. Okay, now for some of us, because maybe we don't understand how important, you know what he's saying? I guess this thing about baptism is not important. Folks, it's part of the Great Commission. That's how churches go apostate. When a pastor begins to compromise in God's word for expediency or to reach more people. By the way, we want to reach as many people for Christ as possible, but not to compromise the God that gave us a book to follow. And so why do we study Baptist history? Studying Baptist history prevents a church from apostatizing. We're this younger church. Anybody know who Joe Boyd is? Joe Boyd, he's in heaven now, okay? He was preaching, I think, when he was 90. Joe Boyd was an evangelist, big guy, actually, big guy, played college football. And he would actually go and have these big campaigns. He'd put up these big tents, and he'd come and preach, get everybody saved, and blah, blah, blah. He was out here in Long Beach one day. I found out we just started a church, and he was at a church on 3rd Street. And I said, man, Joe Boyd's right here. He was still preaching in his 90s. We got a group of our, by the way, we didn't have many people. We got a group of our people in the church. It was a Baptist church. I never heard of it. And we went over there, just a handful of people. We heard Joe Boyd. We're like, wow, this is great. We went, did our own thing. Oh, I don't know, 10, 15 years later, we find out that it's a gay church now. But I don't mean those people moved out. I mean the infrastructure of that church somehow changed. Okay, I think we listened to this in a couple of our classes. It was a message by Dalton Robertson. Actually, Dalton Robertson, we're going to have come preach here next year. He's on our calendar, I think, in September. But he was preaching a message on just on Baptist heritage and this point on why learning your Baptist heritage is important, because it protects your core values and it keeps your church from going. By the way, while I'm alive, I'm going to just tell you this. It's very, very, very unlikely while I'm pastoring that this church is going to apostatize. But life goes on. By the way, don't thank me. You can thank God and the people that invested in me. I don't just think in this generation. Okay, I don't just think in this generation. And maybe I think, you know, some might think, Pastor, you think too much in the next generation. No, by the way, whether it's our Baptist forefathers or our American forefathers, they always thought generations ahead. But he was teaching, and he is a Baptist. When he comes here, he's a wonderful preacher. Everybody's going to fall in love with him. He's just a great guy. But he is a walking history book, Dalton Robertson. And he was preaching a message. And anytime he goes to a city and he sees an old church, like if he saw this church and it said Baptist on it, he would go in and he'd go talk to the people and see if they have some archives or some old history, you know, notes on the church. And he wants to find out what's the history of the church. And he goes all over the place. And he went to this one church, and it was, the name of the church was Judson Memorial Church. Well, Judson was a great, probably the greatest Baptist missionary ever. And some would say the greatest missionary ever. He's going, whoa, Judson, I'm going in there. He goes in. It's a lady sodomite pastor. Now, let me say this. That church was not started when they put Judson Memorial Church. That church was not started with the mindset of someday having a sodomite pastor. But you know what they did? Somewhere they compromised. By the way, that's why some of our new people, oh, Pastor, what's the big deal about the small things? It's if it's in God's word, let's not compromise. Okay? And so, I can spend a bunch of time on that, but we won't. Let me say this too, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself too. Most, and I didn't know this. I didn't know this when I was in Bible college. I didn't know this the first 15 years of pastoring. But how many ever heard of D.L. Moody? You ever heard of D.L. Moody? Okay, most of us have heard of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was a great pastor. He's a great evangelist, back and forth to Europe, pastored here in Chicago. I've been to the Moody Church. D.L. Moody was a Congregationalist. And actually, Jim Beller sort of turned me onto this. But he said, as he was studying history, he said, and this was before he understood anything about the importance of being a Baptist and our history and our heritage and what the Bible says. He said, he come to find out that our Baptist brothers would not participate in D.L. Moody's big crusades. They didn't throw rocks at him. They didn't protest, but they didn't participate. And Brother Beller goes on to say, he says, man, I couldn't believe, what's wrong with our moron Baptist brothers? Well, when you start to think about it, do you know D.L. Moody was a Congregationalist? You say, what does that mean? They sprinkled babies. So to have all these people get saved, then what are you going to do? You know, our Baptist forefathers said, we're not going to go against people out there. They believe in God. They believe in soul winning. But we're not going to let them taint us. By the way, congregation, and we don't all know what each denomination means. Some of them, they used to mean something, and now they don't mean a whole lot. You go, I think it's on 3rd Street. Congregational church. They have this, you know, it has a little sign where you can change the words. We went over there, they're doing some construction over there, and we were checking, you know, there's no parking over there downtown. We went over, they had a big sign there, Congregational Church, and it says, they didn't apologize. It says, we are a liberal church. Come on, man, at least put it in the back of the bulletin in little small letters. Okay? But, anybody heard of Billy Sunday? Billy Sunday was a Presbyterian. And I know this, you say, oh, pastor, he's great. And by the way, I've used his illustrations, and, you know, Billy Sunday, he'd run, and he'd preach, and he used to be a baseball player, and he'd look, and he had a Bible open, and I used his illustrations. Isaiah 61, he was a Presbyterian. You say, well, pastor, does that mean he's bad? It means this. By the way, that's why most of the Presbyterian churches are not preaching the Bible. You say, why? Because they were started on a faulty foundation. If we are true Baptists, thank God, we're started on a good foundation that's the Bible and the New Testament. Not John Calvin. Whenever I witness to a Methodist, I'll use John Wesley and his testimony. But many of these churches, because they came out of the Catholic Church, they're still tainted. And guess what's happening? Little by little, they're apostatizing. They're not all apostate. Okay? Look at number two. Studying Baptist history helps us to identify with the purest church and the purest Christians. Please get this. If you get nothing, get this. Loving God is contagious. You say, Pastor, I want to love God more. I am going to tell you, Paul said, I think I have it there in your outline, Paul said, be followers of me even as I also am of Christ. See, Pastor, how do you love God more? Well, there's a lot of ways. You love his word and you love him more. You keep sin out of your life, you love him more. But one of the best ways to love God more is to get around people that love God. You get around people that love God, it's contagious. You study these great, and again, I don't. This might sound like a little bit of an arrogant statement, but I shouldn't say it. But I don't know who to follow nowadays. But I do know this: as I study my Bible and I study our Baptist history, I'm like, wow, there were some really holy people. By the way, they died holy. They died loving God. They died staying faithful to their wife. They died giving the gospel up. They died and they gave everything. Those are wonderful people to follow. I always say, I say this, the best books to read are the books that are 100 years old. Look at in your little outline. Loving God is contagious. Revelation 12:11. And they, who? These are the post-rapture Christians. Okay? And they overcame him. How do they make it? Who's him? The devil. By the blood of the Lamb, of course. And by the word of their testimony. Who's their testimony? The testimony of the Christians of the past. And they love not their lives unto the death. Something that has helped me in the last few years that I've studied Baptist history is getting close to these old Baptists. They're wonderful Christians. They're just their walk with God, their passion to please God, their passion to get the gospel out to the lost people. Studying Baptist history helps us to identify with the purest church and the purest Christians. By the way, the old Anabaptists would read one story of martyrs' mirrors a night to their children. Martyrs' mirrors, you've heard of the Fox's Book of Martyrs? Well, martyrs' mirrors is a 1,200-page book of Baptist martyrs. The old Anabaptists would come, and they get their children around them, and every night before they went to bed, they read one chapter. You say, what? By the way, some of us don't even know what a martyr is, and that's okay. A martyr is someone who's died for a cause, died for the cause of Christ, is what we're talking about. And they would sit there, and they would help their children not to get to know Sylvester Stallone. I don't even know if he's still alive. Or Britney Spears. Okay, who else? Cody, tell me. Who? Tupac too? He's dead too? All right. You know. And each night, you know, it's not, hey, let's, like my kids, hey, let's watch Beverly Hillbillies. Let's get to know Jethro better. No, you know what we're going to do? Every night, 365 nights a year, they'd open up this old book, 1,200 pages, and they'd read about one martyr. I don't know, maybe one chapter about one martyr, 10 pages. But you read those old books about how these Christians lived. It gets you convicted, but it also inspires you if you're trying to live a life that's pleasing to God. You're like, man, I am on the right path. I'm not crazy. It's that group out there that's crazy. These people were New Testament Christians. Let's see. I've read this before, but I'm going to read it one more time. Judson's one of my heroes. You say, Pastor, who are your heroes? My heroes are dead. I have other pastors that I look up to. They're wonderful guys, but I'm not going to make them my heroes until they die. So I'm saying, you're going to be my hero once you die. So you hear him die so I can know that you finished well. Judson's finished well. And this, of course, and I've read this. I've passed this out in church. But this is the type of Christians that if we understand who our Baptist heritage, our people, that throughout the ages, okay, now I'm going now into Baptists of antiquity. I'm going back before 16. Actually, I was watching a DVD here the last couple days of the New Testament Christians and the history of them just coming right out of the New Testament. They're so inspiring. This is Judson's. This is for all. Hey, all you single guys, raise your hand. Single guys, raise your hand. Single, 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 single. Single teenagers, okay? Wow, a bunch of married teenagers. Okay. This was his letter to his future father-in-law. Okay? You father-in-laws, you future father-in-laws, those of you with daughters. He said, I have now to ask whether you can consent to part with your daughter early next spring. This is his, will you let me marry your daughter letter. I have now to ask whether you can consent to part with your daughter early next spring to see her no more in this world. Wow. She ain't coming back. By the way, she died. Whether you can, they're going to India, they end up in Burma. Whether you can consent to see her departure to a heathen land and her subjection to the hardships and sufferings of a missionary life. By the way, and I've said this before, but Judson, on his way to India, studied his Bible come to find out that his, I think he was at the Congregational Church, he said, I'm with the wrong church. And he became a Baptist. On the ship going to India, he lost all of his support over, because he said, I am not going to be a part of a mission board that is inconsistent with Scripture. He lost all of his support, lost his friends. But whether you can consent to her exposure to the dangers of the ocean, to the fatal influence of the southern climate of India, to every kind of want and distress, to degradation, insult, persecution, and perhaps a violent death, can you consent to all this for the sake of the perishing immortal souls? For the sake of Zion, the glory of God, can you consent to all this in hope of soon meeting your daughter in the world of glory? By the way, I don't know about you, I'd love for a guy like this to marry one of my daughters. I don't, maybe you don't. I would. You say, why? I want my daughters to marry someone that loves God. Oh, they go to the mission field. I also want to marry my daughter. I want my daughters to marry somebody that will someday, when we're in heaven, we're all happy about it. Okay? Can you consent to all this in hope of soon meeting your daughter in the world of glory with a crown of righteousness, brightened by the acclamations of praise which shall be redound in, to our, her Savior from heathen saved through her means from eternal woe and despair? She died. By the way, of course, Judson, two of his wives died. Six of his children died. He was in prison 21 months. Those are people that can inspire us. Look at number three. Studying Baptist history helps us to understand who we are and where we should be going. Woodrow Wilson, I don't know if this is in your outline, Woodrow Wilson said that people that don't know who they are don't know where they're going. Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, to destroy a people, you must first sever the roots. By the way, the communists did this to the Russian people. Look. Everybody wants to identify with somebody. Look, we don't need to look at the kids' shoes, but they got shoes on it, and it says Jordan. Is Jordan still alive? Okay, what are the new shoes? Brother Charlie? Rugged Outback. I think you get those from Payless. Okay, they want to identify with somebody, okay? We went to Cambodia, and we got $4. What's the shirt with the alligators? Crocodiles? Lacoste. Okay, we're going there, and I don't know who I was with. Like, oh, $4 Lacoste. Oh, low cost, thanks. Get them. I'm like, what do they cost, like $30? More? 60? Okay, so you get a shirt just because it has an alligator on it. Is it an alligator or is it a crocodile? Crocodile, thanks. We're identifying. By the way, I won't go into all that. There's something. We want to identify with somebody, okay? If we don't know who we are and where we came from, you know what happens? By the way, this happens all over the world. We jump on somebody else. Where they're going? Wow, I don't know who I am. I don't know where I came from. And all of a sudden, somebody's doing something cool, or some preacher's out there, he speaks cool. By the way, just because a preacher on the radio speaks cool doesn't mean, or you got him on the internet, speaks cool, and he's a good orator, you might want to check out their doctrine. Right. If you don't know who you are, you don't know where you're going. You'll jump on anyone's bandwagon, okay? We need to know who we are, where we're going. Little bullet there. Baptist Christians of old were incredible Christians. Number four, studying Baptist history helps us to understand why we are so different from the world and other non-Baptist from the world and other non-Baptist Christians. We love everybody. Listen, we should love the lost. We love other Christians. By the way, Baptists are not better than others. It's just we have a wonderful heritage to the New Testament. Okay? You know, one piece of dirt can't say they're better than another piece of dirt. The Baptists, even amongst the Christians, have been the pilgrim-like and peculiar. Look here a minute. I don't know how many times in 24 years of a pastor, some young person or some adult would say after they're in our church for a couple years, they go, you know what? I have some family members that think I'm in a cult. Well, yeah, I got a little response on that. Do you know for 2,000 years people have thought Baptists were cults? That's why they were hanging them on crosses. That's why they were. I saw this DVD, the Baptists of Antiquity, and there were pictures of how they killed our Baptist forefathers. You say why? They thought they were cults. These were Christians. You say who murdered them? Were these gladiators? No, there were other so-called Christians. Don't feel like you're the weirdo when people say, wow, you guys are weird. No, we're pilgrims on a journey. This is world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up way up over there. Hebrews 11:13. It's in your outline. These all died in faith. Now he's talking about the ones that never received the rewards. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. You see, our Baptist forefathers were very heavenly minded. They didn't grab onto the things of this earth. And so they were so faithful to God that people said, these people are like pilgrims. These are peculiar people. And God said ahead of time, that's how it's supposed to be. He said But having seen them afar off, what, the promises, and we are persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers. Folks, we're strangers here. Young people, don't try to fit in. By the way, don't act weird. God didn't call us to be weird. But we're pilgrims. This is not our home. I love our young people. I love the church. Sometimes it bothers me when these kids, and by the way, I'm getting older. I understand things. I'm like, man, these kids are just trying to follow the world. Let's follow God. Let's look like God. You say, what does God look like? He probably doesn't look like some of this junk that we're trying to look like and talk like and act like. And some of us, our minds are just so in the world. We're strangers, he said. Look at there. And confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Look at 1 Peter 2, 9 through 11. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. We're different. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness. Aren't you glad God called us out of darkness? Into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Man, we get to be called the people of God. I'm one of God's people. I'm not the world's people. I'm one of God's people, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers. Use that word again. We're strangers here. And I remember when I was in China. I was in an airport. Nobody spoke English. I had no idea how I was going to get to the next. We went up to this is the desk, the whatever you call it, the counter. I got my tickets. This is a layover? I'm like, yeah, sure these people speak English. I'm like, okay, where's this gate? And they're like, mm-hmm. They start pointing. I said, you guys don't speak English? Mm-hmm. We go over there. They don't speak English. We found a guy in there that spoke Laotian. Brother Coomley was with me. I'm like, wow, in China, found that, you know, praise God. You know what we were? And I felt like, by the way, I'm the only white guy in that whole airport. Everybody's still. Now, you know, if you're in Shanghai, we were, you know, there's a few white people, Europeans there. That airport, I was the only white person. You know, I was a stranger. God says, we're down here, we're strangers. were pilgrims. He said, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. We're done with the lesson for tonight. I mentioned I watched this DVD. It's about an hour long. And what it is, it starts with the 23 churches in the New Testament. I didn't even know that. There are 23 churches started in the book of Acts. And then takes you as far as Paul, then he dies. And then they pass the baton onto these Palmic, they were Baptists, Waldensians. But through the whole DVD, the guy's name is Ryan McGuire, unbelievable, godly Baptist preacher who's a Baptist historian. He's just a great historian. But he's going really from the New Testament until about 1600. And he's talking, and he's given the history, and it's just phenomenal. But then he would bring these ancient pictures. You can tell he didn't make the pictures. These are pictures from books. And he had the books, the pictures of these old Baptists and how they persecuted them. I can't even tell you. I can't even tell you what they did to ladies. I'm sitting there bawling. I'm thinking, here these folks would stand for God because they loved them so much in those days. And, you know, I got a stubbed toe, and I'm being persecuted for Jesus. You know what these old Baptist Christians do? Number one, they make my problems look a lot smaller. They literally would go into an entire town where these Baptists would try to migrate, try to get protected. I mean, they're giving the gospel out. They go in and just slaughter a whole town. My problems aren't that big. Let's pray. Father, help us.